Again this morning to hear the Word of God and be encouraged and challenged. So I guess we will continue some more of that by God's grace. It's blessed with what Brother Michael shared in calling on the Lord and how do we get there? How does that happen in our lives that we just don't get frustrated? And I mean, what has to happen in our lives to come to the place where instead of getting frustrated or disappointed, we just call on the Lord? And I guess that's maybe a little bit what I wanted to talk on is, we get emails from different organizations, and the one of them we got this last week, All Nations, where they send people. I don't know how many of you are familiar with them, All Nations Bible, I think they're out of Pennsylvania, but there's a little heading in there that caught my eye. It says, the importance of training. Why is that so important? Because, like I was saying, you know, Michael, you shared about calling on the Lord. We don't automatically do that. When we're young children, automatically they call, maybe if they hurt themselves, they call for their parents or for somebody that, you know, that is close. But then we have to train them, you know, as they grow older, that transfers over to calling on God. Can we see the connection there? You know, there's when we're young, you know, they call on their parents. And when we get older, we want, because the parents are, we're all, what, how do you say that? I say disposable, or we're replaceable. We're not going to be here. Every one of us, I mean, we kind of depend a little bit on each other, but some of us might not be here tomorrow, or one of us might not be here tomorrow. So we're always training the young generation. I mean, the importance of training. Because we're all here for just a short time, and we all go through this life, and there's things that we need to learn in order to get through life. We can either just go through life by trial and error, or we can go through life. We want to go through. I think for us here, I think we all want to go through life and please the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that? I mean, in order to do that, there's some training that comes into our lives when we're young. And I guess I want to bless you as parents, young moms, and especially as I was also listening to the children's lesson. That little boy didn't give up his quarter by accident. Your little children don't make choices like that by accident. There was what? There was training behind that, right? And that's what we're doing. Like when we come to church, I mean, when we read God's word and we see this is what God wants, how do I apply that to my life? There's training involved. For scripture, we can. There's not a lot of scripture in the Bible that refers to training. We're very familiar with the one in Proverbs. First, I'm going to read the one in Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. But let me first look at the word training. I looked it up, and there's you know, as I said, there's not a lot in the Bible that talks, you know, there's not that word itself is not much in the Bible, but there is the principle of that. And like teaching. So I want to look a little bit at the two meanings of the word training and the word teaching. I always thought that there's a little more difference, but when I look at, let me read the definitions of it here. Train is to draw along, to entice, to allure, to draw from an act, to act by persuasion or promise. And then another one here is to exercise, to discipline, to teach, and form by practice. That was what I would have got from training. And that's kind of the highlight, I think, of training is to form by instruction or practice, to bring up. Teaching, now let's go over to teaching. It says to instruct, to inform, to communicate to another the knowledge of that which he was before ignorant. It's more of a communication. But it also does say, to communicate to another the knowledge of that which he was before ignorant. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. That is in Isaiah. And then the disciples told the Lord, said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And it kind of continues on. It does say number 4 in under the meaning of teaching, it says to instruct or to practice the business of an instructor, to use the following, the employment of a preceptor as a man teaches school for a livelihood, to show, to exhibit, as to impress on the mind, to accustom, to make, to inform or admonish, to give previous notice to, for he taught his disciples and said, that was in Mark, to suggest to the mind. If you look at the two meanings of those two words, there's not a lot of difference. And if you look at how many times the word teach and teaching comes up in the Bible, it's a lot more than training. Training is not a lot, but I think training almost makes do I want to say more sense in how we apply it to our lives. So let's read in Deuteronomy 4. I'm just going to read the first part of the chapter here. The first 15 verses. Says the summary of the covenant. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in his, all things that he that we call upon him for? Has that also call upon him for? For what nation is there so great that both statutes and judgments so righteous as all his laws which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. And he came near and stood under the mountain, and ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, and the darkness clouds of and thick black darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, or another word for that would be form. They didn't see God, they just heard the voice. They only heard his voice, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye see no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in the Horeb out of the midst of the fire. As far as I was going to read. But here we see, I mean, he mentions in here to teach, you know, that he's teaching them. And it says to cleave, if you go back a little bit to the first part of the chapter, it says, but to cleave unto the Lord your God. It says, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. If we're going to possess the land, if we're going to make it safe through this life into the land of Canaan, or what we would call heaven now. Canaan was what the children of Israel were striving for. There was some training involved. When they left Egypt, there was some training involved. And they didn't do very good sometimes. Is that the way it is with us sometimes? We are in a training ground to go from this world to the next, to what the Lord has prepared for us. And I wonder sometimes if we understand the training that he's doing in our lives, or do we just get frustrated and disappointed, and do we see it as training opportunity, is that God is training us for what he has? Because if you look at when children go to school, you know, that's in the line of teaching. Quite often, sometime along their life and their time in school, you'll hear him say, I don't know that I need this. When am I ever going to use this? You know, training, teaching is not necessarily for now. I mean, some of it is. You know, it could be down the road a couple years. So, children, just remember, when your mom and dad are teaching or training you in something and it doesn't really make sense, it could be for a future. Like that little boy in the children's lesson. When he heard that verse, in Bible school or in church, that was training him, that was teaching him. And then when the need arose, well, the day that he heard it, it didn't mean much to him. But there was enough seed planted in his heart that when the need arose, he used it. That's life application right there. So yeah, just the encouragement there to the importance of training. So let's turn over now to Proverbs. Proverbs 22, which we're all familiar with that one. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 verses, I'm just going to read three verses in here. Well, actually, I'll read the first six verses. We'll just read the first six verses. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Then verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, verse 4, 5, and 6 are the main ones. It says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. Now, what is froward? We don't use that. We don't say, well, that guy is froward. That's kind of an older English term. Well, if you look at, I looked it up in the 1828, it says froward, it says perverse, that is turning away from with aversion or reluctance, not willing to yield or comply with what is required, unyielding, ungovernable, disobedient, peevish as a froward child. In Deuteronomy 32:20, God says about the children of Israel, says they are a froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Froward, I guess, is more of a broader term, whereas all these others, you know, not willing to yield, to comply, or to unyielding, ungovernable. So froward is the opposite of teachable. I wanted to do, I don't know how many of you saw the little video clip of what Isaac shared on the little, he was down in Missouri, what was it, a month or two ago, about the little pony that his uncle had, which is a very good lesson on training. This pony, you could do almost anything to it. They drove it through, they had him lay down on the ground, and a guy with a broken leg jumped on its back and he stood up and he drove it through like a, what you call an obstacle, like a teeter-totter with, in the middle of it, there was a bunch of, I don't know what you call it, bunch of plastic hanging down, different colors, and the pony walked through that, and then the teeter-totter goes down, and then on the end of the teeter-totter there's balloons, and then there was a blower there blowing, and the balloons were shaking, And the pony just walked right through there and stepped on the balloons popped. That doesn't happen. There was training involved in that. And as I was thinking of that, I said, that's exactly the picture that the Lord wants us, His children, to have. It doesn't matter what He lets come our way. He wants us to trust Him. And that's, I think, going to church sometime is training ground, or studying His Word, and, you know, is training for us to do whatever He has for us. If you think about training, where does it, and Isaac shared some of the things, you know, his uncle does in training horses. I mean, a lot of us here are familiar with horses, training horses. And I know Isaac also said, he's not here, so I can pick on him a little bit, but he said that that pony is, not every pony can be trained like that. That's a special pony. Are we special people? We should all be able to be trained in the ways that God wants us to walk in. Are we those kind of people? Are we special people? We are special people in God's sight. But are we that kind that He can depend on? May the Lord depend on you. That pony was, yeah, it was amazing what they did with it. I mean, it would stand there. I think they even drove it without a bridle. Sitting on backwards, and the little boy crawled in between its legs, and while another boy was standing on top, cracking the whip on top of its back, it wouldn't. They said, it's broke, broke, broke. It's train, train, train. Are we train, train, train? Or are we still in the process? I think we're still in the process, right? I kind of feel like I am. I'm still being trained. I know, you know, here in Proverbs, it talks about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I kind of like to put that, we're all children of God. I kind of like to put us all in the same, because we're all children of God. I think here it's specifically talking to parents training up children, but we're all being trained or training, or the importance of training. I had to think of, a horse. In order for a horse to be trained to do what that pony did, he totally trusts his master, right? In order for us to be willing to do whatever the Lord asks of us, we have to trust Him. And if we trust Him, He can train us in doing things that we didn't know we could do. Because it's His power through us. Because we know He has the power and the ability to make us something that we were not to start with. I mean, if you just look at the principle of the disciples, you know how He took His disciples and He taught them. It never mentions too much about training, but He taught them. And when they didn't do things like right, sometimes, you know, He would bring some correction. But He didn't give up on them. And I think he's you still see that's His heart. That's the heart of the Lord Jesus too. He doesn't give up on us. We are more likely the ones to give up. All we have to do is stay true and faithful. Be committed to what He wants. I had a question here. Where is training usually done? Or what is it about training that is sometimes discouraging? Or we as parents, you know, it takes time, right? I could be doing other things that I enjoy more. You ever think about that? Training takes time. T-I-M-E. It just takes time. But when we train, when we're training, as I said before, remember, we're only going to be here for a short time. And if we don't train, then it's like the end of the story. Everybody just does their own thing. I mean, if you know, when the children of Israel, when they didn't teach and train, like it said there in Deuteronomy, to, you know, it goes on from generation to generation. But if you fail to do that, then it's kind of the end. In Genesis 14:14, it says, "And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan." He armed his trained servants. You know, and I'm not sure how Abraham did all that, but he prepared his servants for something, that to go out and fight. And you know, training is, you know, like when you train horses, there's a specific time taken to do that. And I think that's probably, for myself, probably one of the frustrating things I would say that I could see in my own life, is because usually opportunities come along at the time when you have the least amount of time. Training times come along when you have the least amount of time. But I think that's God training me to be training, to also be training. So it's like a two-way thing. When God is training me to be training others, then yeah. We're here for, not for ourselves, but for the Lord Jesus. As I said before, in the meaning of train says to form by practice. How to train and when. How to train and when. This would be now in the line of child training. How to train, as it says in the meaning of it, it says to practice, to instruct. You know, when you train a horse, the way I understand what I've seen, you do something a couple times over. And I think it works a lot the same way in children too. When they do something they shouldn't, and then you bring correction, okay, I want you, what you did there, I don't want you to do it that way. This is the way I want you to do it. Okay, now let's do this a couple times. That's training. You do it a couple times. Like an example would be, there's a lot of examples. I'm just trying to figure out which one I should pick. Sometimes they're children, when you meet strangers and the stranger says hello or what's your name, and then they don't say their name, and then you go back, Maybe you have to go away a little bit and do a little discipline, that because they didn't say their name, but then I want you to say your name. And so you go back and you get them to say their name. And then you look for another opportunity, maybe on purpose. Okay, here's another person. I want you to go and say your name. That's training. Or maybe another one would be running through the house. There were places you don't want them to run. And they just ran or did something they weren't supposed to. Okay, let's go back and let's do it right now. Let's do it a couple times. That's training. We do it right. We all understand the principle. I mean, it's the way you train a horse is, you know, to do it a couple times, and then, you know, in a day, I don't know how many times you do it in a day for a horse. It probably depends. Certain trainers might have different ways of doing it. But I don't know how many, you know, every other day, a couple times a week, you know, you do this. And they'll learn that. The same with us as older people too. Are we being trained? I have quite a few verses here that I wrote down from David. As I said before, the meaning of froward is unyielding, ungovernable. Well, if you look at David's life, his desire to want the Lord's will in his life, says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." That's in Psalms 86:11. Psalms 90, verse 12 said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." He's opening himself. Lord, show me, teach me. And you could, that word sometimes, you could almost, you know, train me to walk in your truth. That's a heart that wants to be trained, that wants to walk in the ways of the Lord. And those are the people that God is looking for, like that special pony. I almost connect, you know, that pony that did not every one of them can be trained that way. It's just not everyone is a David, like a David was there in the Bible. But by God's grace, can we have that heart? In Psalms 119, it says, "I have declared my ways." He confessed his sins. "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me." Then he says, "Teach me thy statutes," not mine. He says, "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes." David wanted what God wanted. Training. He wanted to train his heart after what God wanted. Is that my heart? Is that your heart? I mean, just over and over. In Psalms 119, it's quite often says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." Psalms 119:64 says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." Just over and over. He wants the Lord to teach him. Do we want the Lord to teach us? Do we want him to train us? He will do that. He's not lacking on his part. "Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments." That's in also 119. These are all verses in Psalms 119. Also, 119:68, it says, "Thou art good and dost good. Teach me thy statutes." David is convinced in his heart that the Lord is good. You know, there were times when David did things that he shouldn't have. One time he sinned with Bathsheba, and another time he counted the Israelites, and God gave him a choice of him, either God disciplining him or the enemy. And he chose God over his enemy. He would rather have God discipline him because that was his heart. Because in training and in teaching, I wrote down here it says, training may be accompanied with some pain at times, which, you know, we're human beings, sometimes we don't like pain, but the Lord may allow pain to come into my life, but he will not harm me. Remember that. When things in life seem painful, that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love you. Keep your eyes open for what he's trying to teach you. Painful things are not to harm me, but to help me. I mean, it might be he's just training me. Sometimes we don't understand we don't see the full picture. We just see what people say, we see the underside of the quilt. You know, it's just a bunch of stitches. It doesn't make any sense, but we can know that the Lord is doing he's looking at the top side. A couple more verses here in Psalms 119. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statute. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Oh, I mean, I feel when I read these verses, I'm like, I don't know that I have. I find myself very lacking in what David's expressing in his heart here is just, Lord, teach me thy statutes. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy. I mean, what happens when the face of the Lord Jesus shines upon us? You know what happened when Moses spoke to God, that people couldn't, the reflection from his face, they saw it. And when God does that for us, when he's teaching us, when we have that heart that we want him to teach us, that reflection should come out in our life. Just like it did for Moses when he talked to God. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me. And I figure that's probably just something that, you know, David would have read in the Old Testament. He knew that what happened when Moses talked with God. And then it says in Psalms 132, verse 12, it says, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, then I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. Basically, if it keeps on going, you know, if it goes on from generation to generation, he was saying this to David, and I think that's still true. If thy children keep the covenant of my testimony and shall teach them, it's like a one teaching the next, and it's a, you know, in the blessed thing we have about teaching the ways of God to the next generation is we actually have it written down. Whereas if we don't have it written down, you know what happens when you teach something and you don't have a consistent pattern off of it? It kind of changes over the years. But God is, he knew what he was doing when he prepared all the, when he had it written down for us so that we can stay with a consistent pattern. You know, generation to generation. Psalms 143 says 10 says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." Lead me in the land of uprightness. Here I wrote down, this is a phrase that we hear occasionally. It says, "More is caught than taught." So in our training, just remember, in our training and teaching, more is caught than taught, you know, when we teach our children. Basically, meaning my actions are louder than my words. So, in our teaching, if our teaching is saying one thing and what we do is another thing, then it kind of nullifies what we try to train. If you would do that to a horse, what would a horse do? If you came out to the horse and you with a whip and, you know, you with an angry tone and a horse would never, you couldn't train him. I don't think you could train him. It would have to be a dumb horse it's not possible. And I think the same is true for training children. What we teach and how we act can be two different messages. May the Lord help us as parents to have the same message in both. So again, yeah, and I don't have a whole lot more than that. It's just hopefully that was I had written down, it says how to train. I give a little bit of that and when. Not sure if I taught much on if you think about when, you know, in child training, if you think about when for us, you can't always do it outside of public, you know, when you're not with others. I mean, some of it's bound to be with when you're in a setting like in a church setting, but I would encourage it to do when should be as much of it at home as you possibly can, and that's where that time comes in. That thing that we're all geared up with, you know, time is. There's coming a day when there is no time, but here we're limited with time, so we have to deal with it. So just remember that the time we spend in training is, you know, worth more than maybe the little bit of money that I would make just skipping it, because I may not be here tomorrow. The importance of training, because we are just here today and gone tomorrow. So Sometimes it seems like we've forever been here, but if you consider how long you've been here, we haven't been here very long. So yeah, just the encouragement to first things first, important things first, and realize that we're here but for a short time. So may the Lord bless you and continue to help us to grow in His ways and to see the importance in training and teaching, because it seems that's about what life consists of, right? I mean, as far as, you know, learning and He has a lot of things I think He wants to teach us, but one of the most important things is that we have a heart, that we're not a froward heart, an unteachable or an unwilling heart. And if we have a willing heart and a Lord, teach me thy statutes, He will do that. May the Lord bless you.